a nationally known nursing educator in interdisciplinary education for the care of children with disabilities and chronic conditions and in sexuality for persons with disabilities. She directs two maternal and child health bureau-funded programs. The National Resource Center for Health and Safety in Child Care and Early Education, NRC, recently co-published the third edition of Caring for Our Children, the health and safety standards in child care that we've been discussing throughout this presentations. And the third edition of both the National Resource Center Health and Safety in Child Care and Early Education and then the National Health and Safety Performance Standards Guidelines for Early Care and Education Programs. These were in collaboration with the American Academy of Pediatrics and Public Health Association and Maternal and Child Health Bureau. So great collaboration. Recognition of Dr. Krychek's dedication to interdisciplinary education to support children's health has brought numerous honors. In 2006, she received Book of the Year Award from the American Journal of Nursing as co-editor of a book, Nursing Excellence for Children and Families. And in 2009, Dr. Krychek was the recipient of the Doris Geister Award in Excellence in Leadership and acknowledgement of her national and international recognition as a nursing leader in education, administration, and research by Sigma Theta Tau Alpha Kappa Chapter at Large. The award includes commendation of Dr. Krychek for visionary and innovative approaches, creation of an environment that enhances the image of nurses and nursing profession, and participation in the development of nursing leaders and leadership. She's going to talk with us today about preventing childhood obesity and tools for child care providers, licensors, and legislators. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. I really appreciate the presentations because, and I would also encourage our presenters that they're going to be publishing their work because I think it impacts on furthering the field of where we need to make an impact to make the environment healthy and safe for children, not only in center-based care, but family, large and small family home care settings. I want to tell you a little bit about the National Resource Center. It's based at the University of Colorado College of Nursing Anschutz Medical Campus. And as Jennifer mentioned, it's a partnership, and we will get into that with the American Academy of Pediatrics, American Public Health Association, Maternal Child Health Bureau, and our health consultation training program at the University of North Carolina School of Public Health Initiative, and I'll speak a little bit more about that partnership. Our mission is to, of course, improve the quality of out-of-home child care. And I told you a little bit about the consortiums in terms of the partnership that are involved in the work that we do on an ongoing basis. We support the efforts of child care providers, early educators, families, parents, guardians, health professionals, early childhood comprehensive systems in the states, state child care regulatory agencies. We've been talking about we have been mentioning about the child care licensing regulations. And part of our mission is to work with the states. And twice a year, we contact all state licensing agencies to determine whether or not their standards need to be updated, or if they're in the process of updating them. And we manage the website for all the state standards in terms of the regulations in all of the states. The national performance standards, as it was mentioned by several people, that the third edition became available in June 2011. This is a four-year revision process with multiple people across the nation involved. We had 10 technical panels with 85 panel members, content experts from AAP, APHA, subject specialists from many entities across the country. Caring for Our Children is a definitive source of best practice in health and safety in early care and education settings, evidence-based standards, and where we don't have the evidence, as we've heard our previous presenters demonstrating and carrying out the studies such as on medication administration, looking at environmental health, hand washing, which are so critical in the field. Though we pulled together in terms of expert consensus to make a decision where there wasn't evidence. The standards are a model for health and safety practices. One of the things I want to focus on is obesity, and give you a little bit of, as we are hearing constantly on TV, the media, as well as national initiatives in terms of prevention of childhood obesity, which leads to lifelong outcomes in light of where we need to make the greatest impact is at the beginning of life. We know that obesity, 1 in 3 low-income children are obese or overweight by age 5. There are serious health consequences that we all have to consider in terms of if we don't work at the very beginning at birth, to make an impact. So often we think it, by the time a child reaches adolescence, it's almost too late to really make an impact. So we're really pushing and really being supported by Administration for Children and Family, the Maternal Child Health Bureau, Center for Disease Control, and these are partnerships that are going on nationally within federal agencies to really push to make the all-out nation push. And today I heard something on TV here in California where there's an initiative about limiting sweets. We know what happened in the city of New York in terms of the proportions, and really the challenge is controlling the proportions of what we eat. Okay, increased risks include diabetes. We are experiencing in this nation an epidemic of childhood diabetes. I know in our state of Colorado, we have major training across school districts in terms of school nurses, health educators, nutritionists, and a variety of people working together to really, really work with children in terms of not only once we leave childcare, but working in preschool and early education to make a difference in terms of the whole issue that we're dealing with. This leads to hypertension and cardiovascular disease. It is amazing. There's some research that's going on by some of my colleagues and looking at the whole issue of children do develop hypertension. And it's a precursor in terms of as we look at all the things that kids are exposed to, what have you. Issue of GE reflux disease. Also obstructive sleep apnea, which can contribute to learning problems and behavioral problems. Asthma, as we've heard mentioning, which is an increase of asthma caused by multiple factors, genetic, environmental factors. And, of course, this leads to increased cost of health care and medical care as we are facing the institution of care for all people coming up in 2014 with some of this already implemented throughout our states at various levels. I really want to focus on, this is caring for our children, and incidentally, we're going to rifle off these documents. That's the reason why you got a number, and so somebody's going to be taking home some of these books. Caring for our Children is available in print from the American Academy of Pediatrics and American Public Health Association and probably the National Association for the Education of Young Children. However, all the materials that I will be speaking about today are free and available on the website. You can download this whole book. You need to run your printer probably all night, but there are also, so everything that we talk about is free and available. Prevention of childhood obesity is a secondary document that I'm going to speak briefly about. And what we were supported to do by the Administration of Children and Families in 2010, before Caring for Our Children was finished and completed, were to pull out standards on nutrition, physical activity, and screen time. This document today led to the Center for Disease Control to put out an RFP, which was just funded within the last month, to Newmore's Foundation, a $4 million initiative based on this work. And actually, some of our reportings were in that RFP that came out. And it's 6 states will be participating in that with activities and training that will be working to impact 85,000 children over the next 3 years in terms of impacting the whole issue of obesity. And that has just been rolled out by the Newmore's Foundation. Newmore's works in relationship with Michelle Obama's initiative on Let's Move, and I hope, how many of you in this room are exposed to know about Let's Move initiative? Some of you hopefully have participated in the training. I want to encourage all of you to get on that website. There are incredible resources, up-to-date information, and I will say our website has 1 million hits a month, And actually, there's about 600 downloads of this document a month. So we're tracking the data in terms of the downloads of where people are with it or sections of this or whatever they need to look at. And so some of the things I'm talking about are other resources that I'm just giving a thumbnail sketch that I would want to encourage you to really look at. So we're looking at nutrition, physical activity, and we're talking about physical activity beginning with infants. We don't let a child just lay. We don't put them in a sitting, some kind of a sitter, and leave them in there for long periods of time. So this begins very early in life. The big challenge is screen time and limiting screen time. Our partnership with the American Academy of Pediatrics, our standards align with the direction, with AAP, APHA, in terms of the work that's going on screen time. There are differences in our standards as well in terms of the philosophy with NAEYC, but there's huge pushback on this in terms of we're talking about all kinds of things. We're talking about all the media, the social media things, including TV. And so there are limitations that we are certainly recommending in light of how much screen time should be used in child care and family as well as center-based care. Because then the child goes home and they may have two or three more hours of TV, what have you, that also contributes in light of the challenges that we're facing. So that's going to be a huge issue to really deal with as time goes on. How do the standards address the problem? Promote eating a variety of healthy foods, advocating breastfeeding. We see this happening across the country, center-based. Mothers come in, or they may store their milk and bring it with the child. We see an increase in this occurring, so our big push is to promote breastfeeding at every opportunity. Emphasize and promote daily physical activity, limiting the screen time, as I mentioned. Partner with families to promote healthy eating practices and lifestyles. This is a huge challenge. We must look at the cultures that people have in terms of family habits. That's why we have to work in partnership if we're going to make a difference in the lives of the kids. Encourage collaboration among families, caregivers, and community health partners in terms of dealing with this issue. How else can we use the standards? National and state campaigns to build integrated nutrition and physical activity components in their systems. We know that nationwide, this was talked about at the Weight of the Nation, a CDC conference that occurred in May, that there's a huge push to work with fast food corporations. There are changes occurring. Those of you that go to McDonald's, you can find healthy food there. One example I want to use, when they came out the little packets of cut-up apples, they used to have caramel flavoring things. All of a sudden, the caramel disappeared. Okay, there are salads. There are ways. The other thing that they've done, I'm using that as an example, they've come out with the calories in terms of what you're eating. So Wendy's, so many of these other fast foods are making different. The fast food corporations are making a difference. What's happening at the federal level, too, in terms of food subsidy programs that child care providers invest in, that hopefully we're going to be seeing the more inclusion of fresh fruits, vegetables. We have community gardens. We have multiple things happening nationwide. Hence the bombardment of multiple federal agencies working across this nation to bring this issue to not only people's attention, but that we're going to start to make a difference in family and children's lives. Caregivers and teachers can use to develop and implement practices and policies and using to be used in staff training. What we heard also today, the importance of with the issue of bleach, I'll briefly talk about that because we do have standards that relate to the whole use of bleach. But what's happening in the market today, which we just discovered, was brought to our attention that you can go into a store and you look in the washing products, the laundry products, etc. It's now ultra bleach, which means it's more concentrated with smaller bottles. We are working with the chair of our environmental committee, Steve Eng, who's in Vancouver, Canada, who is working on the formula that we will definitely put up upgrades on our website. Since this publication came out, the ongoing changes are available on our website, but a new formula to look at this in terms of the whole issue is how the misuse of bleach does occur, and we really have to work in, on this whole thing, even though there definitely are guidelines out there. So that's a huge, and we are working with Eco Healthy Child Care, which is an environmental group. We are on their steering committee working with them as we look at EPA-supported products that are used in the whole issue of sanitation and disinfection. Okay, regulators use the standards to improve state regulations. We are working on a document, a secondary document called Stepping Stones, the standards that impact mortality and morbidity in child care. That publication will come out in the spring of 2013. There are multiple people across the nation that are working with us on this and evaluating those that impact health and its mortality of children and their lives that put them at risk in child care. Standards are used also with regulators, legislators too. We do have a toolkit that's available that are legislative sheets that can be handed to state legislators in terms of the rules that, that are changing in the states. States do not change rules every year. It takes a lot to pull together state systems to make differences in any state licensing regulations. Most regulations that we see, and I'll just speak specifically about child care, are minimal requirements, as we have seen some of the data that's been demonstrated. So the goal is for quality improvement and QualStar programs across the nation for improvement and upgrading, not only in child care, but early education is a major goal within states. Many states have done incredible things. Many states, as we know, with some of the data that's been presented by both by medication administration as well as the environmental factors and the contamination that happens, that we really, really have a lot to do and challenges in terms of, you know, a lot of kids spend 8 to 12 hours a day in child care. You look at our Head Start data, I mean, the stories that I've heard from our Head Start providers, the child comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning and they go home at 6 o'clock at night. So they spend the majority of their time in these settings in light of the criticalness of the stuff that we're really trying to present here and the content in light of improving their health and safety and working with the child care providers and the programs. Standards are also used by the academic faculty as a resource to prepare students for entering early childhood workplace. Healthcare professionals, including, I want to put in a plug for health consultants. Across the state, the University of North Carolina School of Public Health has the health consultation program model, and many of it is train the trainer model. Angela Crowley in Connecticut is an expert on this in terms of child care health consultation training. And so that entity is so important to have health consultation available to child care settings, center, and family-based care. Some states have regulations that they do have a health consultant. It's in the state regulations that they centers need to contract, programs need to contract with health consultants for inspections and the multitude of things that the health consultant can bring in terms of consultation around health and safety also. This slide is from the University of North Carolina's National Training Institute slide. I give credit to them down below. And what can a child care health consultant do? Partner with the center to self-assess where they are in health and safety. Help the center identify a plan of action. Provide training on nutrition and physical activity for children, staff, parents, and guardians. Develop and distribute materials or incentives, provide technical assistance as needed. I want to mention some national resources. Many of you, how many are familiar with NAPSAC in terms of that? That's a nutrition and physical activity self-assessment for child care program that's available. There's a website. You do have a handout. If some of you that don't have it, I'll give what I have here. I think we only made about 20 of them. But this is this presentation, Jennifer, will be on the website right now that's on here. Yeah, okay. And so I want to mention a little bit about NAPSAC that is used. That was developed by Dr. Sarah Benjamin, who's now at Duke University, in terms of in the work that's ongoing related to use of NAPSAC. I mentioned to you Let's Move Child Care. He had the website address there, what Newmores is doing in partnership with the Administration for Children and Families, and that work will continually be ongoing and updated now with their new $4 million initiative of what's happening in the states. And unfortunately, I know it's the state of Arizona, and I don't know all the other states right at this point in time. I want to talk a little bit about other resources. Our partner, the American Academy of Pediatrics, hosts and house the Healthy Child Care America Initiative. That, again, is a partnership with the entities that I have discussed with you, the feds at the federal level, Maternal Child Health Bureau, NTI, National Training Institute, the Academy, American Public Health Association. And they definitely have resources definitely available. The American Academy has incredible resources, and I think the push is to get out there what we have available. We have something like about 800 links on our website of resources that are available. The CACFP, that's the Child Care and Adult Food Program. I mentioned a little bit about that we are doing some work in light of what's happening in the states with changing the food subsidies and to have more nutritious things available in those food subsidies. Policy changes and other national initiatives, CDC and Health and Human Services grant, communities putting prevention to work. There's a huge initiative that's going on in 60 communities in 33 states and 3 tribes are involved in this grant initiative addressing the whole issue of obesity. And so I just wanted to highlight some of the major entities that are, again, we have not seen the relationships that we are seeing now with the cooperation among many of our federal agencies in the light of what's happening, and that's pretty exciting that people are getting on the same page. National Resource Center resources that I kind of want to allude to. Achieving a state of healthy weight. This is assessing child care regulations of all states and D.C. to determine language and conformity with standards and preventing of childhood obesity. We are doing this on a yearly basis to see what is happening in the state. This is done by looking at the state regulations and looking to see where they are in light of CACFP, the food products. Are they increasing? What are they adding? So there is work going on, and we are into year 3 of assessing where the states are making gains in terms of making a difference, taking all the pop out of the school, the school vending machines and what have you, and what they're serving in their cafeterias or what they're serving in family child care homes, center-based care. So anyhow, achieving a state of healthy weight, I do have a copy of that here, but it's all of this is available on the website, as well as Preventing Childhood Obesity, that smaller book. This book right here. There's a second edition of that already in terms of updating the content in nutrition, physical activity, and screen time. Licensing toolkits. I do have a copy of one copy for people to look at, but this again is available, the action sheets. This was done in cooperation as we developed for the licensor, child care providers, and legislators, NARA, the National Association of Regulatory Agencies. People worked with us on developing. We partner with multiple people in the work that we're doing. Current topics covered, avoid or limit foods high in sugar, use of water, and 100% juice. We really, really are recommending limits the amount of juice that we're using and giving to children, and really to have the child drinking water rather than pushing the juices and juice substitute. Screen time, limiting screen time. I do want to mention that, and here's another tip sheet on this, for serving of water and 100% juice. Research and reasons, do's and don'ts, practical ideas, talking to parents and guardians. Family checklist. We have one for nutrition and physical activity, really for parents. This is a list that can be given to parents in terms as when we're counseling and working with parents to make a difference. I want to mention those. It's available in English and Spanish. PCO, Caring for Our Children, is not online in Spanish. One of the things that we have learned, we do know that people will download the Spanish versions. They, of course, do not purchase the printed Spanish versions of the documents, but we did not have the funding to translate this whole 750 standards in this third edition. So, but several things are available on Spanish on the website. Videos. I want to talk to you a little bit about, we have developed one video and motion moments, ideas for incorporating physical activity into child care programs for infants, toddlers, and preschools. That is indeed available in English and Spanish, and we are very fortunate to have a Spanish translator that has worked with us, has never been questioned about the Spanish, there are many dialogues of Spanish, but it's never been questioned. She lives 250 miles from Denver and works from rural Colorado with a team in her own community, and so we're very fortunate there. These videos that we talk about are not freestanding videos. People have contacted us for a freestanding video to use it for training. It has to be used on the internet. And the parents signed off to keep these videos on the internet. And so we are definitely honoring those wishes. What was just released is the screen-free moments promoting healthy habits, showing providers simple ways to limit or even eliminate screen time in their family child care home. That is huge. That is going to be a huge challenge, and we are hoping that we can see some improvement in this. Okay, so here's the third. We have a database, new database. You go on our website, contains all Caring for Our Children standards and more, searchable by keyword, chapter, major chapter, subdivisions, chapter subdivisions, standards, and friendly and Section 508 compliant, which is important. It also includes collections, the frequently asked question. We do have a title that's frequently asked question where we update all the things that have changed or need to be addressed. And this whole issue of bleach will be on there and the various kinds of things. It's a continuous updating of these standards. And we are encouraging people to look at the frequently asked questions on an ongoing basis. As I mentioned, all the materials are available through, you can download any of this stuff that I'm talking about. This is our website. We have an 800 phone number. We have an email. We are located at the Anschutz Medical Campus in a suburb of Denver called Aurora, Colorado. And I thank you. Okay.